Yeah. All right. It's that time. We're not playing around anymore, okay? And I've teased it enough. Mad Dog, this was actually yesterday. So this happened yesterday. And with everything that went on with the game, we were keeping the vibes positive. They just won. I get home, and I really didn't see too much on social media. I saw one, maybe two people mention it, but I didn't actually see the clip until I just fired it up myself. This is to start the show, by the way. This is to start the show.
Okay.
Obviously, don't get me wrong. Obviously, it wasn't about the Kings.
Of course.
That's the craziest part. It was about the Warriors.
Of course, it always
is. And Mad Dog decides, and I understand he has some type of history in Sacramento. We won't get into all that. But Mad Dog decides to take it there. So the first clip is Mad Dog. So Stephen A. starts it off, right? Stephen A. starts it off. And then the first clip we're going to play is Mad Dog starting his response about the Warriors. The second clip we will play is Stephen A. responding to Mad Dog and then Mad Dog with something else to say. Here's the first clip.
Well, first off, Sacramento's got to calm down. The Kings lightened a beam, I mean, because they beat the Golden State Warriors. And what did they do? What is Sacramento? They're not even in a body of work yet, and they got to play a road game in New Orleans to get into the postseason. So the Kings think they've made this logical. Look at us. We beat Golden State. Nonsense. You're in the ninth seed right now. Go beat the Pelicans on the road Friday night. And then at least we can say, they made the playoffs. There's something to say for that. Last year they made the playoffs, and they got knocked down the first round anyway. So Sacramento makes it sound like they've really accomplished anything. They've accomplished nothing.
Okay. I know I'm not going to be able to stop myself if I start. So we're going to go ahead and play Stephen A's. He goes on to talk about the Warriors, Mad Dog does. And then Stephen A, this is his response to Mad Dog.
I don't know why the hell you're getting on the Sacramento Kings. Yeah, the light and the beam and all of that other stuff. The point is, Doggy, they're going up against the Warriors. If you know anything about that matchup, how close in proximity they are, it's a personal thing. And so I don't think that you saw the one thing that they didn't want to happen. They didn't want their season to end at the hand of the Warriors. That's what that's about, particularly in that location. And so you got to take that into consideration as well. That's all that was. They know they're the ninth seed. They got to go beat New Orleans. Let's see what happens in that matchup. Obviously, the season isn't what it was last year, and we get all of that. So their whole objective is to make the playoffs. But I think last night's celebration was about making sure you don't lose to the damn Warriors again.
You know,
Steph Curry will come in there and drop 50.
You don't celebrate a play-in win. I mean, you don't do that. I don't care who you're playing.
They've celebrated regular season wins against the Golden State Warriors.
And that's why they're the Sacramento Kings.
It's my point.
Wow.
You understand?
Where should we start? Huh?
Where should we start?
If they think that was a celebration, just wait for the parade.
Where should we start? So, number one, they're both wrong.
Yes.
Okay, Stephen A, he at least wasn't being a hater.
Right.
But neither of them know that the Kings do this after every win.
Clearly
they've been doing
not.
It for the last two seasons. Right. So Mad Dog thinks that they're doing it to celebrate the
right.
playoff win, a la Patrick Beverley. Okay, that
right.
when he stood on the table.
Right.
That's number one. Number two, Mad Dog, if you're going to take something out of the place of what the conversation is about, how hard is it to do your homework?
Just basic.
Just basic.
Basic.
You've been around for
surface
you've
level.
Been around for
Brother.
94 years. I'm sure you have people to do that type of research for
man.
You. You don't have to be incorrect. I know about being loud, but I try not to be loud and wrong, and that's exactly what you were. You were loud, you were wrong, you were uneducated,
yeah,
you had
wild.
No clue what you were talking about. Stephen A., I mean, bless his heart, he's trying to defend Sacramento. He thinks they're doing it because it's the Warriors.
Because it's the Warriors.
Nobody knows why they're even doing the beam.
It's actually about the proximity, brother. You
yeah.
don't understand.
They've done
it's
it.
Actually
Molly.
About
Molly.
And Molly hopping in at the end.
Molly's like, wow, that's wild.
Yeah, Molly says that's messed up because
Molly.
You can't see it because
right.
obviously it's an audio platform here, but Windhorse is just sitting there.
Yeah, Windhorse is just sitting there, and nobody knows what the heck they're talking about. I understand these people, they've worked hard to get where they're at.
Sure.
And maybe I have local lenses on because we do local radio, but this is why
People are moving away from these national shows because I don't need you to talk about the Kings, because when you do talk about the Kings, you are uneducated.
Yep.
You don't know what you're talking about. I don't expect you to watch every Kings game, but if you're not going to watch every Kings game, you don't have to say stuff like that to make yourself look even more stupid.
Right. No, exactly. And this is why, especially people in Sacramento, like, we ain't got time for it. Like, we're just not going to tune in to any of your stuff because, you know, there are some good people out there who actually do their research. And that's what makes, you know, to your greater point about media, like, that's what makes these kind of conversations so infuriating is this is national TV. That's a primetime spot when it comes to sports television. And they're just spouting lies about the Kings. And, like, the Kings aren't given national media attention often. And too many times when they are, it's this kind of crap where it's just wrong. It's putting them down. It's making them feel like, oh, how cute of a little story that is. They think they're having a good time. They're not even in the big boy club yet. Yeah. So they think that this is big. But their Super Bowl is essentially winning these tiny, tiny victories. And that's just not the case at all. Like, and that's, again, that's what I think drives a lot of frustration. And it's not just First Take. It's, you know, our Bill Simmons all the time. We played Bill Simmons a couple weeks ago. He's at it all the time. We played some other Ringer content of that dude who said that, Sabonis is undersized center and short arms. That's right. T-Rex arms. It's just trash, man. And, you know, like, it's just disappointing when we're in this industry. We care about actually getting things right and doing proper research. And you got people on the biggest stage, national TV, talking about the biggest game. That game drew a huge rating. I have it somewhere here in the notes. And, you know, they're here talking about they lit the beam because it's a special occasion. Like,
they don't know anything, bro. You're shooting from the hip and you're missing. That's exactly what it is.
Klay Thompson. Who missed worse?
Right. They probably didn't even know that Klay Thompson had 0 points.
Do you think Mad Dog Russo has ever even heard the words Keon Ellis put together?
No. How many players on the Sacramento Kings roster can Mad Dog Russo name?
They got that Fox, right?
Is it Sabonis? What's his name?
Avinas Sassan.
It's just ridiculous. It's unnecessary. And here's what's crazy,
Chris. He probably
Chris.
Still thinks Kevin Huerter's playing.
Probably.
For sure.
Probably. Yeah. Here's what's crazy, Chris. I actually don't have a problem if you say, because Mad Dog, I would assume you don't like bat flips, you don't like celebrations. Right. If that's your take, I don't like that they celebrate after every game.
Yeah.
Right? If that's your take, I can disagree with it,
right,
but at least I can say, okay, that's your take, whatever. The fact that you don't even know what in the world you're talking about, that's actually my issue.
Yes.
If you don't like the fact that they do the beam after every regular season game, you can have that opinion.
Sure.
We can disagree on it, whatever. But you don't even know what you're talking about.
Right.
That's my issue. Loud and wrong. 916-339-1140. Let's get to Matt, who wants to be part of the conversation. What's up, Matt? What you got for us?
Hey, man, I'm glad you're talking about that because, man, I mean, not only did they not give the Kings any, you know, credit or talk about them, they talked about the Warriors, which was the bigger story, I agree, but they spent very little time. Then he doubles down and just rips us up. You know, it's like, God damn, dude. Can you give us a break? You know, I think that was a significant win for the Kings just because not only did they win, they blew them out, and it was the end of the dynasty. Not that we ended it, but it's the last game of their, like, reign, you know? So I was blown away with that response, and I think you're right. Completely uneducated and ignorant, and lack of credibility has my eyes from here on out.
Yeah.
No, absolutely.
Thanks for the call, Matt.
We didn't even mention that part, that they didn't even talk about the game.
They didn't even mention the game once.
Kings won by 24
after that,
points.
I'll tell you, because Dave's going to laugh at this. I was on the treadmill, so that's why I was even watching in the first place. So after that, the rest of the segment is about the Warriors.
Right.
All Mad Dog hopped in to do is say, well, that's why they're Sacramento. What? Come on, dude.
Crazy.
You're Mr. New York. I'm assuming he's from New York. Whatever. Yes. Why? What is the point?
I don't know.
What is the point?
Stick to the Knicks, I guess.
Yeah, well, and I'll give you this much. Out of the last, I gotta be careful here. Out of the last, I don't know, maybe 5 years, how many games have the Knicks outdrawn the Kings?
I have no idea. Yeah.
Back, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Based on what the Kings did in the playoffs with the Warriors,
and the games that they've had, the Kings have been a pretty darn big draw.
Yeah,
okay?
Absolutely.
And
you work at the playoff numbers last year.
You work for ESPN.
Look at the numbers from the playoffs.
You have a deal with the NBA and ESPN. They're helping your pockets. And instead of, at least Stephen A. tried. Yeah. I mean, he didn't know what's going on. But at least he tried. Stephen A. is on four different shows. Mad Dog, I know you're on the radio or whatever it is after you speak incorrectly about the Kings. It's just unnecessary. And I don't understand why big city people feel the need to step on just little areas of fun that smaller cities have for absolutely no reason. Again,
Sacramento.
If you just don't like the beam, that's different.
Yeah.
Okay? And you don't like, it probably fits. You probably don't like the celebrations after home runs.
Right.
You probably don't like any of that stuff. But to not even know what you're talking about and still have so much to say, that's
an
issue.
They got like 40 producers on that show,
40!
Too.
And I Chris, no, I'm telling you, I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, okay, somebody, at first I thought it was going to be Stephen A. to say, hey, they actually do it after every game.
Right.
Then I thought it was going to be Windhorse, who just sits there with a little smirk. If it ain't about LeBron, Windhorse
his fingers all over the place.
Has nothing to say anyway. Chris, we see you. We'll get to you and all the calls when we return. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacramento.
Breaking down the disrespect from the 916. The disrespect is real, always. I searched every channel to hear something about the Kings, .. Just what the Warriors will do next. The only person I feel knows us somewhat was Reggie Miller, acknowledging we are low or last on getting calls.
Oh.
Shout out Reggie, apparently.
Okay, I guess we got to take what we can get.
And the TNT guys were under fire for their lack of knowledge on certain things. But I do feel like the TNT guys, for the most part, understand. I mean, that's the thing. Sacramento, that's the craziest part, I think, of this all. It's not as if this was last year, I think I would probably not be as hot and bothered by it because it would be new. Same exact situation, but they're the 9 seed. They're doing the beam, but they're the 9 seed. I might not be as hot and bothered with him not really knowing why they're doing it, but it's been 2 years. Sacramento, we had a conversation about Sacramento versus the Baltimore Orioles for best story last season. I think we put the Lions in there too, the Detroit Lions. And Sacramento was one of the most compelling stories last season in the NBA. So for Mad Dog, I don't know if Stephen A. just didn't feel like correcting him, but the fact that he did try to correct him lets me know that Stephen A. didn't even really know.
Right.
I personally feel like Windhorse did know and probably just felt like, I'm just going to let this guy rock and my name's Bennett, I'm not in it. That's what I do. I would be surprised if Windhorse didn't know. Yeah. But I will tell you this. If the Lakers had a beam, number one, they would know about it, right? They would know how it actually works. But let's assume Mad Dog did it. I'll put it to you like this. Windhorse, if he did know, assuming he knows about Sacramento, and it was the Lakers and Mad Dog was wrong and Stephen A. was wrong, Windhorse would have said something.
Absolutely.
But Sacramento, doesn't really matter anyway.
Well, how much of that, to your point, is just maybe Windhorse didn't fully know? Like, he might think, like, he might have an assumption, but I do think it's ridiculous that there's, like, four people on that show that have mics in front of them and nobody brought it. Nobody was confident enough in their knowledge. Even if they were like, I'm pretty sure they light the beam at the end of it. Nobody was confident enough to say, I'm pretty sure they do it at the end of every game. Like, that to me is another sign, like you said, that just nobody on that set knew any idea about what they were talking about. You know, it is very evident. I get it too. Like, I do. I think Matt even admitted, like, I get why they ended up talking about the Warriors. That's not even really the problem. The problem is, this is the few minutes or seconds, I guess, of airtime that you give this team.
Exactly.
And it's about this. Like, not even saying Keegan Murray. I get, again, I know maybe Mad Dog has no idea who Keon Ellis is. Keegan Murray was a great college player. He was the number 4 pick in the draft. He had a fantastic rookie year.
He was in the Rising Stars game.
In the Rising Star, whatever you want to, like, he should be a well-known enough name. He had 32 points against the Warriors, and again, not a single mention or even 2 minutes on, oh man, like what a even if they're wrong about, oh, Keegan Murray, that could be a guy that, you know, can be a number two next to De'Aaron Fox, yeah, or whatever, even if that's not the correct conversation, at least they're still talking about the team in a positive light, talking about the players, talking about building out the team. This is how they're going to end up talking about the team. It's just crazy.
Yeah, and the thing is, and I can't sit here and say I listen to the whole show because I value my time too much. But in that first segment, maybe they brought up something about the Kings. I don't think so. But in that first segment, they said nothing. Honestly, shows like that, they're really for bandwagoners and they're for people that like the main teams.
Yeah.
If you are a fan of the Cowboys, the Warriors have made their way in there.
Yep.
They'll stop talking about the Warriors as soon as Steph is retired.
Yep.
Okay, but if you're a fan of the Warriors, if you're a fan of the Lakers, you can watch those shows. And a lot of people are. If you are not a fan of those shows, you're not going to go to them. You might want the acknowledgement, right? And I'm sure Sacramento fans even felt, you know, we talk about, man, they never talk about it. We want the acknowledgement. But then when they talk about them, they're not even correct.
Exactly.
This is from Alan Cal. About 2 minutes later, Mad Dog said, that kid from Iowa played great. What's his name? Alan? Absolute clown.
That's lying.
Maybe he did. I turned it off.
And
shout out to
that.
Alan Cal. Alan Cal was one of the ones when I was driving in. I saw it when we were getting ready for the show. I hadn't seen the clip yet.
Or listened to it.
So shout out to Alan Cal for finding that, because you know it comes on 7 a.m. Shout out to Alan Cal. This is from the 916. I think Stephen A was at least corrective. I believe Charles Barkley props up the Kings regularly. Agree? Yeah, I think the TNT guys, and I don't know, maybe the Kings have a lot of TNT games versus I don't know. Mad Dog doesn't have to, and that goes back to this whole big picture thing with these shows. Mad Dog isn't really asked to know the nook and crannies of the
NBA. He's a baseball guy.
He's a baseball guy. That's how he started. He can talk about other sports, and Stephen A was a basketball guy.
Yeah,
he talks about other sports. But then the problem isn't that.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is you going out of your way.
Yes.
Going out of your way.
Yes, to just be a hater.
Just
be a hater for the sake of being a hater.
That haterade up there in Bristol or L.A., wherever
they're... I think it's Bristol still.
Still is strong
it's
out
crazy.
There.
No, it's crazy. And, yet, you know, like, we do want the acknowledgement. It's not that we're upset that, you know, like, we definitely want these shows to be talking about the Kings, but it's just, it's asking, again, for the bare minimum of you at least having a productive conversation. If your job is going to be to talk about this league, and I guess you can maybe consider the source here. It's not like this conversation is had on NBA Today. It's had on First Take, where that's kind of what this thing is meant to do, is to stir up controversy. But, like, this is just so egregious, and after such a moment that should have been huge for the Kings, and I'm not saying it still is a play-in. It shouldn't be something that you guys have to talk about the entire day or anything like that, but, you know, there's a nice story here. It's wrapping up the story of last year, saying, you know, these guys beat the Warriors had their number last year. They had them on the ropes, though. This is a nice win for this Kings. No acknowledgement of any of it. That's the thing that I think gets Sacramento fans upset, is just like, in the few times you talk about us, it's always, always, always negative.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, it's unnecessary, and, you know, it's one thing to think highly of where you're from or whatever the case is, you know, you're from a big city, cool. You know, I'm from the Bay, and I'm proud to be from the Bay.
Yeah.
But it's another thing to feel the need, when you say something like, and that's why you're Sacramento.
Yes.
That to me, I don't know what was the most egregious part, because now you're just taking shots that are dang near out off the court.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's completely.
It's just completely unnecessary. Yeah. And he says it with that little stupid grin. And I just wish somebody was there to check him, and nobody did, because it's small potatoes. That's why, to me, there was no need in going there.
Yeah.
That all you're going to do is just fire up some people. And I tagged him on Twitter, and I know he's probably going to see it, or his handler is going to see it. And if you're listening right now, I dare you to come on these airwaves. You know what I mean? Because you can't be out in these streets sounding uneducated and think that nobody's going to check you. But I'll put it to you like this, Chris. This is just another situation. These guys, I don't watch all 3 or 4 hours. Like I said, I value my time too much. But these guys probably do this stuff all the time.
Yeah.
And Sacramento was just the most recent smaller market where people don't do their homework, that get talked about, not just in a negative way, but incorrectly.
Yep.
So now all the people that watch are going to think that the Kings either just did it randomly because they won a play-in game, or they did it because they beat the Warriors and it was a big game, and neither is correct.
Neither are true. I feel so bad for these guys when they're going to have to talk about Kings OKC in the first round. My goodness. They're not going to stand a chance.
Well, they're just not going
They're just not
going
to
They're
going to
say, Shea played well. hey, Stephen A., Shea actually sat out. He's injured. Okay, well, he would have played well. That's what Mad Dog is going to say. When we return, continuing the conversation, also, how are you viewing this season if it doesn't turn out with a W tomorrow night? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
First off, Sacramento's got to calm down. The Kings lighten the beam, I mean, because they beat the Golden State Warriors. And what do they do? What is Sacramento? They're not even in the body of work yet. They got to play a road game in New Orleans to get into the postseason. So the Kings think they've made this logical. Look at us. We beat Golden State. Nonsense. You're in the ninth seed right now. Go beat the Pelicans on the road Friday night. And then at least we can say, they made the playoffs. There's something to say for that. Last year they made the playoffs, and they got knocked down the first round anyway. So Sacramento makes it sound like they've really accomplished anything. They've accomplished nothing.
I don't think so. I don't think that's what Sacramento thinks. They're saying, look at us. They're saying, look at us. You're saying, look at me. I don't pay attention to anything. 916-339-1140. Let's get to Eric, who wants to be a part of the conversation. What's up, Eric? What you got for us?
What's up, gentlemen? Hey, thanks for the show. You guys are great. But that fool, he needs to go back to broadcasting school, man. He got it all wrong.
Yeah.
He don't know what he's talking about. But we're used to that as Sacramento fans. We're used to being this. And they don't even understand. We got a legend here. Domantas Sabonis has known something to put him in the books, baby. I mean, they don't even talk about that. Whatever. But you know what the best part is? We got redemption this year. We got a sweep on the Lakers, right? Mm-hmm. And then we got redemption for last year against Warriors. We broke the dynasty. We spanked them and sent them home by a D-leaguer straight out of Stockton, baby.
That's right. Thanks for the call, Eric. Good stuff. And yeah, and they're not done yet, Chris.
No.
They're not done yet.
Nope.
You look,
job's not finished.
This is, and I know people hate, if there are any Niner fans listening, you know, what is it? The revenge tour has, I don't know if a revenge tour has ever actually come to fruition. I know they have before, I think even South Carolina, NCAA women's, right. That was a revenge tour. We're not calling a revenge tour because at the same time, we feel good about this stuff, but a revenge tour, you have to have championship aspirations.
Sure.
We know without Malik Monk, things have gone in a different direction, but this is somewhat of avenging the things that happened to you, not just last year, but in the past. The 76ers, that streak is now gone. The Bucks, that streak is now gone. You avenge what happened against the Warriors to some degree. Now the Warriors are spiraling, okay? That's why ESPN is spending 4.5 hours on them on one show, all right? Now what's next, Chris? You got another one. Will you let a team beat you 6 times in one season and a bunch of different combinations of said team?
Yep.
No Zion, no problem. Yep. No Ingram, no problem. No CJ, no problem.
Right.
Combination.
That's not the combination we like. This ain't Panda Express. No.
That's a bad combo.
Will you be able to get over the hump?
Yeah, hopefully. And in a weird way, I know Stephen A. is actually rooting for the Kings in this one because then they can just talk about Zion, right? Then they can talk about what the Pelicans are doing wrong. And then it's still not going to be about the Kings. It's going to be how Zion underperformed and how, I motivated you to lose that weight, but we know really who you are. and that's what it's going to be. So, I'll take it. But absolutely, I mean, the Kings, They've got to find the right combination. I think it's about putting everything you've learned. There's got to be some parts of those games where you had some positive momentum. I think without Zion, it definitely helps for the game plan. I think they still run into the problem, even without Zion, of who do you put on Brandon Ingram? I guess now you can at least focus more attention on how to slow that guy down. You also might not need to with him coming back from injury. I don't think we've gotten word yet officially on if he's still on that minutes restriction or
another not. Another reason I'm upset that the game isn't tonight.
That's true,
it's
right?
It's another day of recovery. Another day of rest for Brandon Ingram. But yeah. Hey, Zion is out, so what more can you ask
right,
for?
Right, exactly. You know, you got to take advantage of that. That should be enough to at least, you know, even the scales out a bit. No pun intended, I swear. I think it was pretty crazy. I think, like, the CJ McCollum problem, I don't feel like, and maybe this will be famous last words, but I feel like the ball pressure that they put on Steph Curry, if they put that same game plan towards CJ, you know, there's still a lot of other shooters. Herb Jones, you got Trey Murphy. Hopefully Jose Alvarado can't hit shots. Hopefully Dyson Daniels isn't hitting shots at a higher rate than he's hit all season. I would think that if you can slow down CJ's production, if you can figure out how to make Ingram work for his shots, I think that should be enough for this team. Of course, easier said than done, but it's going to be the physicality. I mean, they have to be as physically and defensively dominant as they were against the Warriors. And, you know, of course, again, hit your shots. You got to make the offense flow. I think too many times against this Pelicans team, you end up just getting overwhelmed by their size and their arms and their just the wingspans of everybody on that roster are ridiculous. You got to try and figure out how to disrupt them and, you know, tip things more in your favor, even though, you know, I think the Pelicans have definitely shown they've figured out just about everything the Kings have thrown at them this year.
From the 219, no Zion, so the Kings should smash the Pelicans by more than 20 points and roll. No excuse for losing tomorrow night, !! 219. I mean, as I'm reading that.
Sorry.
219. You just got to get a W. Yeah. I mean, 219. The best they've done is lose to them by 5.
Yeah.
Every other loss, I believe, has been double digits. Some of them losing by 30.
Yeah.
And that 30-point game, 219, was with Zion out.
That's right.
It's actually a fact.
So crazy. I'd love that.
Yeah.
But
I would love it too. Man.
That would be incredible.
It would be incredible, especially on the road, especially everything that's heading into it. But realistically, I mean, that's just not something that I feel like we can really wish. I mean, like, you know, I think you could argue, I guess, to back the 219 for a second, we wouldn't have had that conversation in the Kings Warriors game leading into it, and it ended up happening. So, you know, the 219 could definitely
be the Warriors before.
That's a very, very good point. But, you know, it's not impossible. It's just I don't know how they go from losing to 10.
How do you get that plus 30 there?
How are you not only clearing that 10-point deficit, but then increasing it by 20? You know, for sure. I think the Pelicans definitely are more so trending in a downward trajectory just after how they slipped here. But that could also recenter you. You can refocus.
Yeah, if you have any type of pride in the Pelicans and you're in front of your home crowd, that would be –
This is all setting up for the Pelicans exactly to have an epic failure.
Yes, if they lose, it's bad enough.
Yeah.
That means you cooked two at home.
Yep.
If you get blown out, they didn't get blown out against the Lakers, but if you get blown out in this game with no Zion, but no Malik Monk, no Kevin Huerter, that's bad.
Imagine, if we're doing Pelicans radio and we're saying, all right, we didn't get the 6th seed. All right, we didn't get the 7th seed, but we have this team that we have beaten 5 times this year. We have that game at home. Yeah, Zion's not playing, but we got Brandon Ingram back. CJ has killed these guys every single time they've played. You cannot lose this game if you're the Pelicans.
You can't.
This is incredibly embarrassing if you're the Pelicans. This is your entire season coming down to, oh my gosh, we went from wrapping up a playoff spot to not even making the playoffs in a week. That would be terrible. And I'm not saying it's not going to happen, but that's the kind of desperation that the Pelicans might play with, though. They feel the pressure as well, and I think they're going to give a really good effort out there. They're not just going to feel, oh, Zion's out. Oh, we've been slipping up all these opportunities. Here's another one that we're probably going to trick off. They're absolutely looking at this as a do or die, win or go home like it is. But they're playing for a lot. I know there's not a lot of Pelicans media out there that are really pressing them, but there's definitely a lot of internal pressure for these guys to figure it out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when I was watching Pelicans at Warriors, I don't know if you saw, but C.J. McCollum, and it goes back, you know, the beef that they have, not really beef, but the Blazers beef when it was, you know, there was a time where which Dame and CJ, which backcourt was better.
Yep.
CJ, I've never seen CJ McCollum let someone have it. Him and Clay got into it.
Really?
And basically Clay was trying to post up CJ.
Yeah.
Right? And CJ knocked the ball away. And CJ goes, post up again, post up again. And crazy. Clay says to him, I've been busting your you-know-what for 10 years. So CJ, and then they didn't win a game after that, the Pelicans. So there's no way the Pelicans are going to lay down.
Yeah.
The Kings are going to have to put them to bed. And no, I'm not going to say night-night because those guys in the Bay, they already went night-night. 916-339-1140 if you want to be a part of the conversation when we return. Continuing the conversation, an update on Jimmy Butler, playoff Jimmy, after all that. After all that, is Jimmy not going to be able to play? Also, we discuss, with Zion out, how does that affect how the Kings should approach the Pelicans defensively? Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. I'm trying, Jennifer. That was CJ McCollum. He tweeted that when someone said, can you make the playoffs? What is it? Can you make the playoffs, please?
Yes. And he was like, I am Jennifer. Like, I am trying. And it's, yes, that was one of the original like NBA Twitter memes.
Yeah.
Like that was one of those that got NBA Twitter kind of on the map.
Yeah. Wow. Inspirational. Wow.
When was that? Let me see.
916-339-1140. Ken has been hanging out during the break. What's up, Ken? What you got for us? Stiles and Watkins.
Hey, what's going on? I don't know if you guys already talked about it. You probably did. I missed it. But in the beginning of the Warriors game, when Keegan elbowed Clay Aiken in the face, and then Clay, he puts up a donut. But it kind of reminded me when Kobe elbowed Bibby. I don't even remember the game 6, 2002, but we need some of that to beat the Pelicans tomorrow. We need some physicality like that. I don't think it was on purpose, but even if it wasn't,
right,
I think it did something. You know, it rattled them up a little bit.
Yeah, no, thanks for the call, Ken. Good stuff. Clay Aiken, that's a name
drop.
That
threw me back for a second.
No, I was watching The Voice a couple days ago, and I saw American Idol was on, so I just kept scrolling. But thanks for the call, Ken. I do remember that.
I don't remember.
We actually hadn't talked about that. So great call, Ken. So basically, it's the beginning. I don't really know how it happened. I don't know if Keegan was trying to get loose or whatever, but he did. It was a slight elbow to Clay, and Clay was like, dang. And I believe his lip was bleeding. It didn't drip down or anything, but you could see, I believe, in the post game. And Ken is saying, you need to kind of set the tone early.
Sure.
And I think without Zion, you definitely have to set the tone early. Yeah. And that's the type of Keegan that we like. Look, let's take it back to when the Kings were struggling a couple months ago, and Trey Lyles was the one that called, or excuse me, he said, hey, De'Aaron, I'd like to do a players only meeting, or do you think this could help?
Right.
So Trey was the one who initiated it, but De'Aaron being the captain was the one who officially called it. At least those were the reports, right? The reports also were that who spoke a lot in that players only meeting? Even though there are all the memes and jokes about this guy for being very monotone and just kind of standing in the corner when they do the four pictures, one Keegan Murray, the second-year player, had a ton to say during that players-only meeting, okay? So this isn't a guy who – and we have these conversations about Kawhi and about different players. Hey, do you have to be rah-rah all the time? When I heard that, Chris, it made me look at Keegan a lot differently. And when you hear Keegan talking post games, Keegan is really about being successful. And he is about taking the step. He does it in a different way. He's not going to yell at anybody. He's not even going to make facial expressions when he does anything good or anything bad.
Right.
But don't get it twisted.
Keegan is really about that life, and Keegan is really about winning.
About that life?
He's about that winning life. That winning life.
I was like, I don't know if Keegan, which I don't know if I've ever met anyone who's definitely not about that life.
That's true. He's about that winning life.
Keegan Murray from Iowa.
He is about that championship. He's about that winning life. So it might be Keegan. We've been saying, we've just kind of given that mantle to Trey Lyles.
Sure.
But I think it could be anybody. I mean, De'Aaron, he'll get fiery. De'Aaron was talking to the refs because he's saying, man, you're calling these fouls on these dudes, and they've talked about it in post. I don't know if De'Aaron ever got fined or if Coach Mike Brown ever got fined for a couple games
That's
ago when they had something
point.
To say.
Yeah,
clearly they didn't
think
because
think
I think
so.
We would have found out about it. So they've been talking about it,
That's
and De'Aaron's saying, you're not going to play me.
Right.
You know what I mean? You're not going to play me against these dudes, and I'm not going to miss these calls. You're going to, oh, I didn't see it or this. And De'Aaron's fed up. Mm-hmm. This whole team is fed up. They're fed up with losing.
Yeah.
They're fed up with refs missing calls, and they're fed up with underperforming. Does this mean they're going to win tomorrow night? Absolutely not.
Right.
But I do think we will see one of the best efforts we will have seen. I would be surprised, and I would be very, very underwhelmed if they came out and lost by double digits. Maybe towards, if it gets squirrely at the end, a 7-point lead turns into a 10. But if I would be surprised if they get their doors blown off. I think they're definitely going to come in there with the right intentions.
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. It's just about how well they can execute. And I mean, yeah, you know, there's going to be some things that are out of their hands. But I didn't see the moment with Keegan and Clay, but funny enough, it sounds like it might have been an accident, but even then, the fact that Keegan's, you know, feeling physical and not afraid to throw his body around, like, that's really the part of Keegan's development that I don't really think it's talked about at all. I mean, I haven't seen much of it, but if he can become a bit more physical, to me, that is going to help his game all the way around. I think that a lot of Keegan's game, or the shortcomings in Keegan's game, comes from a lack of aggression in general. And I think that stems from him being this quiet, reserved dude. And once he starts to feel himself a bit, like, understand, you know, he's already been in the league for 2 years, but next year it's going to be three. And at that point, crazy enough, you could be considered a veteran, especially spending time in college, the amount of time that he spent. He's going to be 23, 24 years old next year. He's going to be one of the older guys, not on the team, but, you know, in that class of players, and he's got to start to kind of feel his physicality, fill out his body a bit, and say, like, I'm Keegan Murray. I'm a grown man. I could take this to the hoop. I feel like I have the same conversations about Harrison Barnes, but that's where Keegan can really get good, because he'll attack guys differently. Mm-hmm. Defensively, he's not going to be – not that I think he's intimidated anymore, but he's going to say, you're not only are you not going to get by me, you're not going to get through me either. Right. That's the kind of thing I want to see out of Keegan. And I definitely think that game against Golden State was a huge stride of confidence for Keegan. I can't imagine he's ever felt that good leaving a game, with the exception maybe of his 47-point game in the pros, because he just looked like he knew that the ball was going to be in his hands from Jump Street, as he was. He took the first shots, made the Kings' first 9 points in that game. He knew the ball was going to come to him, and he was ready. He said, I'm going to knock it down. He hit a clutch three in the fourth quarter. He was ready the entire game, and the more and more of confident Keegan Murray we can see, I think that's how we see the Keegan that we wanted to see all year long, that consistent third option.
When you look at the pure jump shots in the league, and maybe even underrated, I would say Keegan's jump shot is underrated. It's a pretty jump shot. It is one of the prettiest jump shots, I think, in the league.
It's very form solid, yeah.
And the more you win, the more everyone will get to see that pretty jump shot. Even Mad Dog.
That's right.
Who will probably call you your brother's name, Chris Murray, or something like that. When we return, we will break down the ridiculous numbers on CJ McCollum. I'm telling you, their video game. How do the Kings stop it tomorrow night? Also, 12:15, we will be joined by, honestly, this kid is one of the most talented young writers coming up in the game right now. Hunter Patterson from The Athletic. He joins us at 12:15. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Clay Aiken and the